ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य, नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्, देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम्, ततो जयमुदीरये। We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods. Today's text is number 37. Shrinvan granam sansmaranam shchintayan. Namani rupani cha mungulani te. Kriya suyas twach charanara vindayor.
Kriya suyas twach charanara vindayor.
Avishta chetana vavaya kulpate.
Avishta chetana vavaya kulpate.
Shrinvan.
Shrinvan.
Constantly hearing about the Lord.
Constantly hearing about the Lord.
Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu.
Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu.
Grinan,
Grinan,
chanting or reciting,
chanting or reciting
the holy name of the Lord and his activities.
The holy name of the Lord and his
activities. Samsmarayan,
Samsmarayan,
remembering,
remembering,
constantly thinking of the Lord's lotus feet and his form.
Constantly thinking of the Lord's lotus feet and his form.
Cha,
cha,
and chintayan,
chintayan,
contemplating,
contemplating
the transcendental activities of the Lord.
The transcendental activities of the Lord.
Namani,
Namani,
his transcendental names.
His transcendental names.
Rupani,
Rupani,
his transcendental forms.
His transcendental forms.
Cha,
also.
Mangalani,
Mangalani,
which are all transcendental and therefore auspicious.
Which are all transcendental.
Te,
te,
of your lordship.
Of your lordship.
Kriyasu,
Kriyasu,
in being engaged in the devotional service.
In being engaged in the devotional service.
Ya,
ya,
hihu,
hihu,
twat charna aravindayo, at your lotus feet.
At your lotus feet.
Avishta,
Avishta,
Chita,
Chita,
the devotee who is completely absorbed in such activities.
The devotee who is completely absorbed in such activities.
Na,
na,
not,
not,
Bhavaya,
Bhavaya,
for the material platform.
For the material platform.
Kalpate,
Kalpate,
is fit.
Is fit.
Translation. Even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet and who constantly hear, chant, contemplate, and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms are always on the transcendental platform, and thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please repeat. Even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet,
devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet,
and who constantly hear, chant, contemplate, and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms. Are always on the transcendental platform. And thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. How Bhakti Yoga can be practiced is explained in this verse. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that anyone who has dedicated his life to the service of the Lord, iha yasya harir dasye, by his activities, his mind, and his words, karmana manasa gira, may stay in any condition of life, nikilas, nikilas yapyavastas su, and yet is no longer actually conditioned, but is liberated, jivan muktasu uchite. Even though such a devotee is in a material body, he has nothing to do with this body, for he is transcendentally situated. Narayana Paraksarvena Kutashana Pibhyati. Because a devotee is engaged in transcendental activities, he is not afraid of being materially embodied. From Bhagavatam 6:17-28. Illustrating this liberated position, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Mama Janmani Janmani Shrede Pavatad Bhaktira Haituki Toyi. All I want is your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. Shikshashtaka 4. Even if a devotee, by the supreme will of the Lord, takes birth in this material world, he continues his devotional service. When King Bharata made a mistake and in his next life became a deer, his devotional service did not stop, although some slight chastisement was given to him because of his negligence. Narada Muni says that even if one falls from the platform of devotional service, he is not lost, whereas non-devotees are lost entirely because they're not engaged in service. Bhagavad Gita 9:14 therefore recommends that one always engaged at least in chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Satatam kirtayantu mam yatantascha dhritavrita namashantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me. The great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. One should not give up the process of devotional service, which is performed in 9 different ways. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, etc. The most important process is hearing Shravanam from the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, the spiritual master, the saintly Acharyas, and the Vedic literature. Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vakya, Chite, Te, Kariya, Aikya. We should not hear the commentaries and explanations of non-devotees, for this is strictly forbidden by Srila Sanatana Goswami, who quotes from the Padma Purana, Avaishnava mukon girnam putam harikatam ritam shravananayiva kartavyam sarpochishtam yatapaya. We should strictly follow this injunction and never try to hear from mayavadis, impersonalists, voidists, politicians, and so-called scholars. Strictly avoiding such inauspicious association, we should simply hear from pure devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore recommends a Sri Guru Padashraya. One must seek shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee who can be one's guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises that a guru is one who strictly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Jare Dake Tare Kaha Krishna Badesh. From the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 7.128. A juggler, a magician, or one who speaks nonsense as an academic career is not a guru. How'd you like an academic career of speaking nonsense? Rather, a guru is one who presents Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instructions, as it is. Shravana is very important. One must hear from the Vaishnava sadhu, guru and shastra. The word kriyasu, meaning by manual labor or by work, is important in this verse. One should engage in practical service to the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, all our activities are concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature. This is very important. One may approach any person and induce him to read Krishna literature so that in the future he also may become a devotee. Such activities are recommended in this verse. Kriyasu yas tvacharanara vindayo. Such activities will always remind the devotees of the Lord's lotus feet. By fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, one is fully absorbed in Krishna. This is samadhi. Shrinangranam samsmaranam chachintayam namani rupani chamangalani te kriyasu yashachvaranara vindayo avishta cheta bhavanaya kalpate. So this verse is very practical for us, and it's being spoken by the demigods when Lord Krishna is appearing in this world. He appears from the mind of Vasudev and then transfers to the mind of Devaki and then into the womb of Devaki. He doesn't appear like an ordinary child, but he appears by his own sweet will, not forced by material nature. And it was his desire to appear in the world to cut down the unnecessary demoniac forces that had developed over time, and also to encourage the devotees. As we'd already chanted this morning, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavam yuge yuge. People want to know why Krishna comes here. He says himself in the Bhagavad Gita, it's in order to diminish the demoniac forces in the world and to establish dharma, because he wants that people in the world have access to the process of devotional service and varnashrama and the progressive path back to the spiritual world without hindrance by demoniac civilization. So when the earth was overburdened by unnecessary defense force of many kings over 5,000 years ago, then Bhumi, or earth, personified in the shape of a cow, went to Lord Brahma to lodge a complaint and say that things had become intolerable on the earth planet. So Brahma then went to the shore of the ocean of milk. There's a spiritual planet in this universe surrounded by an ocean of milk. It's named Shvetadvip. And Brahma, accompanied by the demigods, went to that shore of the ocean of milk, and he made a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who resides there in that planet. It's mentioned that the specific prayer he offered was the Purusha Suktam, which is a prayer that many of you already know. Sahasra Shirsha Purusaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapa Sabhuming Vishuto Vritpa Atyatishtatta Shangulam Purusha Evedam Gum Sarvam Yat Bhutam Yatshabhagyam Tamratat Vishana Yarananati Rohati. And this prayer is from the original Vedas. It's making sacrifice. It's indicating that the goal of life is to sacrifice for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the beginning of creation, there was no ingredients for sacrifice. So from the various limbs of the Supreme Universal Form of the Lord, the demigods performed, took the necessary ingredients and offered sacrifice. And then auspicity could arise. So they offered this prayer, and Brahma informed the Lord that the world was overburdened by these kings. The Lord spoke to Brahma, and a voice that was audible only to Brahma himself, who then relayed the message to the rest of the demigods. And that was that the demigods should take birth in the families, in Krishna's own family, and in the Yadu dynasty, because Krishna was about to appear. This is called Tatpriyartam. When God comes, he doesn't come alone, but he brings everybody and everything with him. All his paraphernalia, just like when a king travels. He doesn't travel by himself and stay in a Motel 6. He brings everybody and everything along. Big trucks follow behind. Nowadays, I guess kings have trucks. And they have, he has a retinue, he has secretaries, he has everybody running everything. So Krishna appears also with his full retinue. So many of these demigods, when you say, why would the demigods have so much a part in Krishna's pastimes? Actually, these demigods are various kinds. It's a general term. But when devotees practice devotional service in this world, they make advancement to a certain degree. Maybe they become completely perfect. But generally, devotees don't go directly back to Godhead, but they take birth in a universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes. And then they can become more trained in the process of devotional service, being in a family that is engaged in full devotional service. Krishna mentions this in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, If someone's practiced yoga for a short time, then they go to the heavenly planets after death, if they're not perfect, and then they spend some time there, then they come back down, and they take birth here on Foxborough Street, or whatever it's called. It's the wealthiest street in the world. And they take birth in a wealthy family. And there they're ostensibly given an opportunity, more a leisure, to engage in spiritual activities. But if they practice yoga for a long time, they become more advanced, then they go to the heavenly planets, if they're not perfect, and then they take birth in a family of devotees where they're hearing Bhagavatam, even within the womb. They come out, they're on Harinam, you know, when they're 2 days old, chanting, dancing, the best of their ability, and so forth. And so Prabhupada mentions that the demigods that took their births in the Yadu dynasty were from various different places. And many of them were devotees who had practiced devotional service for a long time, had gone to the heavenly planets, and now were taking birth in Krishna's Leela. Now, this verse points out that Prabhupada quotes from Rupa Goswami, from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Iha yasya harir dasye karmana manasa gira nikila apyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchite. That devotees, even while embodied, even iha means here, in this world, even while here in this world and in this body, because they're so much engaged in devotional service, they're not troubled by the material body so much. This is brought out in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in the 5th chapter, naiva kinchit karomiti yuktumanyeta tatvavit pashan shinvan spisan jigran ashnan gachan supan susan pralapan vishunan grinan unmishan nimishan napi indriyan indriyateshu vartanta iti tarya. That a person in divine consciousness, a liberated consciousness, while residing within this body, sees that the body is going on, accepting things, giving things away, there's seeing, there's evacuating, there's digesting, and all these activities are being done by the body and the modes of material nature, and that person has nothing to do with them. Naiva kinshit, nothing to do. Naiva kinshit, not even a little bit. I'm not connected to the material body at all. This is going on automatically by the modes of material nature. So a person in liberated consciousness, iha yasya harir dasye karmana manasa gira, because that person is enlightened and is using body, mind, words in the service of Krishna, then that person stays above the harassment of the material nature, the troublesome connection between us and the material world, which is like a bad dream. And many of the, any of the devotees who have taken birth in the Sankirtan movement, you can consider also that the Sankirtan movement is the Lord's incarnation. He's started this movement personally, and Prabhupada mentions that even ISKCON is one of the branches of Lord Chaitanya's tree. And in an astounding purport in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada mentions in relationship to the song Gorang Gera Dutipada, in which Narottam Das Thakur says that all of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appeared, are liberated souls. They're called Nitya Siddha. But Prabhupada then goes on to say, in his purport, that those who are in the modern-day Krishna consciousness movement, they are also Nitya Siddha. Why? Because they're engaged in the liberated activities of spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. And therefore, he says, one should not think that only in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela were there Nitya Siddhas. But one should consider that those in the modern-day Krishna consciousness movement who have come here to help spread the movement, they're also Nitya Siddha. And Narottam Das Thakur makes this very strong point in his song. He said, anyone who thinks like that and understands that those engaged in the Sankirtan movement are Nitya Siddha, they're liberated souls, eternally liberated souls. So this movement is no small thing. It's actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's manifested mercy in this world that he's made available through his order and through his example a series or a set of activities, tat tat karma pravartana, that anyone can follow with body, mind, and words, because that's necessary, we have to be engaged. Kriyasu yashash charanada vindayo, avishta cheta bhavanaya kolpate. If one is using one's body, mind, and words to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, then that person is a liberated soul and is not touched by this world. So I have many more points to make, but I'm going to stop at intervals and take some reflections, because it's I think it's more helpful to have the energy of interaction to keep going. So now, please offer some reflections, anything that you heard so far that you found useful, interesting, objectionable. That'll really wake everyone up. Go right ahead. Just reflect back. Yes. Uttama Ananda. Yeah, we got complaints yesterday that the mic for the audience wasn't loud enough. They couldn't hear. That's better.
In the part of the Srila Prasadis, Prabhupada mentioned to not to hear from. Not to hear from the.
Oh, not to hear from, yeah?
The person who is not devotee.
Yes.
So, I was thinking like, I don't know, the Channel Prabhupada is a devotee or no, he's a politician, kind of. And Srila Prabhupada protects many places, his wards.
The Charikapani was a politician, but Prabhupada quoted his words.
Yeah.
Well, these are selective citations that Prabhupada used to illustrate various points. This is called what it's called realization. So, people have in every culture a natural context in which they take everything. When we present Krishna consciousness, we also have to create the context for them so they can understand things. So if one, for instance, in presenting Krishna consciousness, say, like the Bhagavad Gita yesterday, I was showing a young couple the Bhagavad Gita, and I said, this book has been read by Thoreau, Emerson, Einstein, Martin Luther King Jr., the Beatles, and Tupac Shakur. And when I said Tupac Shakur, you don't even know who he is, do you? He was a hip-hop artist. And so when I mentioned Tupac, he died, he was shot. But he was into Bhagavad Gita. He was kind of a revolutionary person. Only if you were acquainted with hip-hop culture would you know who Tupac is anyway. And you know who he is? Good for you. Okay, so... So when I said that, I noticed they were kind of listening, and then all of a sudden their eyes perked up, like, Tupac Shakur? Really? I said, yeah, really. And so there's a way that in any era or in any culture, one has to connect basic concepts to people who are known in the culture and bring out their particular points that connect them to Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada mentions in the third chapter, the first canto of the Bhagavatam, the first verse, the second to last paragraph of the purport, that realization means to not change the words of the acharya at all, not to try to screw out any new meaning, but to repeat them in using language that's accessible to the modern, to the person that you're speaking to. So it's different when you use quotes from various people to make a point than just listening to them wholesale. And it's a technique that people use all the time in order to bring out points that people can appreciate. Yes, a follow-up.
In the Mangala, you said in the Mangala, in the Bhagavatam, yeah, that slogan. Right, close your mouth. Ridhyam Chastya, and then we didn't just bring that. The slogan from. That if we're hearing every day from Bhagavatam, that's almost your heart's clean.
Yes.
Almost completely.
Well, because there are various stages. So this is explained in the Madhurya Kadambini and also in the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. That these verses that Prabhupada quoted when he was on the Jaladuta, and he quotes it also in the Bhagavad Gita in verse 7.1 and other places as well, because it describes the process of advancing in devotional service. Beginning with service to a devotee. So the first verse was Shushusho Shadadhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syanmahat Seveya Vipra Punyatirtanashavana. When you render service to devotees, then you develop a desire to hear. And this is the sign of regaining spiritual health that you want to hear. That's why you're sitting in the Bhagavatam class, because you have a propensity to hear. Just like the sages at Naimasaranya, you're gathered here. And when you notice that awakening in yourself, then you'll know that this is a good sign. I like to hear. I want to be there. You'll feel really upset if you miss it. There's a class and you slept through it or something like that. Then, I mean, not in the class. But I'm saying, like, you know, you couldn't be there or you accidentally slept. You would feel really upset. This means you're getting a taste. And in fact, I'm giving you a long answer to a short question, but there's a description by Lord Kapiladeva about the practice of devotional service in the various modes of nature. People are practicing devotional service, he explains, but they may be practicing from the perspective of ignorance or passion or goodness. But transcendental devotional service begins at the point at which one's mind is spontaneously attracted to hearing about Krishna. Madguna shuti mate matena mai sarva guhashaye mano gatir avichina yata gangam basam buddhao lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya hyudaritam ahaituki avyavahita ya bhakti purushottame. So he says, this is pure bhakti. When one comes to this point, when one's mind, just like the Ganga, it flows downward, it doesn't stop. So similarly, when your mind hears Krishna Katha, it goes after it and doesn't stop for anything. And there's no condition that will stop your propensity to hear. That means haituki avyavahita. It's unceasing and it's there's no condition on it. Let's say, oh, I can't do it in that condition, only this condition. So that verse describes shushusho shadadhanasya, how the taste for hearing starts to awaken, a little bit at a time. And then shrinvatam swakata Krishna. Then one deliberately hears about Krishna, because it's the process of purification through which Krishna from within the heart, the verse says, then helps you to remove the dirty things from within the heart. Then, nashta praeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati utamo shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. It says, then you come to a point where almost completely pure. But then it does become completely pure. Tada rajas, at that time. Tada means at that time. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lubareyas chaye. Then the mind becomes clear of the lower modes of nature. No more rajas, no more tamas. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this, when it says sattva, the mind is in sattva, it means shuddha sattva. Sattvam vishuddham vasudeva shabditam yad iyate tatra pumam uparita. This verse spoken by Lord Shiva says that when your mind and senses come to the point of shuddha-sattva, that means above the three modes of nature, even goodness, then you can see Krishna directly. And so that's what it means, that if you're almost there, it's describing a progression. And if you keep going, then gradually, you'll notice that there's, as Prabhupada said, no more pinching from the lower modes of nature, pushing you. You do this, you go see that. And you go, I don't want it. It says, no, you have to. But you become free from that. You become a liberated person. And the sign of that is finally that your mind is fully attracted to hearing about Krishna. So it's an interim state. A couple more? Some online? Okay.
I'm a bit confused though. If we can become a nitya siddha by engaging in the movement, body, mind, and words? I thought it was sripa siddha or sadhana siddha all possible.
Siddha is siddha. Once you become a siddha, then there's no consideration. And it's because we're eternal. Actually, you know, Krishna discusses this in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, actually, it's a misperception that we're actually ever liberated or that we're actually ever conditioned. I mean, this is another way of looking at it. Because we're eternal souls. We have nothing to do with the material nature. So how is it that we're ever liberated? Because we always were. And how is it that we're conditioned? We're never actually... we say it's conditioned, but actually we're only connected to the material nature in a very tenuous way. So when one becomes perfect, then one is considered to again have assumed the condition of nitya-siddha. So there's different ways of talking about nitya-siddha. Of course, there's also discussions about nitya-siddha, those who are the eternal associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual world, who are designated as have never fallen down into the material nature. However, once one becomes liberated, there's no longer any condition, no longer any consideration of whether one was at one time so-called conditioned or not. So one's called nitya-siddha. Sorry, I was just looking at my book because I think I wrote down the verse number for that purport. I can read it to you because it might, hearing the vibration might help directly. Do you have another? No, I mean anyone here? Yes, please.
I just wanted to reflect on the point you just made about nitya-siddha and all that consideration.
Yes.
So I was immediately thinking of the example of Narada Muni, like how it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam that he was the son of a maidservant, and before that he was a Gandharva or in the heavenly planets and he was cursed. But now when we read of Narada Muni, no one says, oh, you know, but he was like this or like that. Because the nitya-siddha is a pure devotee and there's no other consideration.
Yes, that's true, yeah. And he mentions himself in the fifth chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam that when he's comes to the point of that liberation, that he says, oh, now I realize that I and the Lord are on the same position spiritually, not in quantity, of course, but in quality. So that's always there. So, it's very important to continue the process of devotional service despite inconveniences and despite one's own ineptitude. One might feel oneself to be inept. There's a couple of points about this. One is, because we're living entities, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that intrinsic to every soul is the ability to rise in due course of time. Everyone can rise. Do not consider yourself or declare yourself on any form that you're asked to fill out to be permanently unqualified, because that is, to use the oldest ISKCON phrase in the world, bogus. We actually are eternal souls in relationship with Krishna, and the claim that I can't do it or I can't rise is not accurate. It's not true. Otherwise, says Vyasadeva himself in the Vedanta Sutra, why are there shastras? And here's his logic. He says the shastras are speaking to us directly. Otherwise, who are they speaking to when they tell us to practice devotional service and so forth? They're speaking to the souls, the individual souls. And if we did not have at some point, the ability to rise, to improve ourselves through devotional service, then why would the shastra be? The shastra would be illogical at that point. Therefore, the proof is, because the shastra is there and it's saying that you should improve yourself, therefore it says, don't make the bogus claim that I'm permanently unqualified. I can't do it. Everyone can do. And we find here in this verse, Prabhupada mentioning that whatever devotional progress you make is permanent. You won't lose that. So everyone should be encouraged to take advantage of whatever desire they do have to practice devotional service. Don't become discouraged. And also, as you participate in the Krishna consciousness movement in a very practical way, this is a practical verse because Prabhupada relates it to our activities of spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, and he specifically mentions book distribution. Stay in your service throughout your whole lifetime. Do not think of transferring or thinking that I've done enough. Rather, take shelter of these words of the demigods who are praying to Lord Krishna within the womb, and understand that you've connected yourself, body, mind, words, activities, to a lifeline to the spiritual world, and that you should continue your services throughout your lifetime. A godbrother of mine just passed away a couple days ago. He found out, before he even got the test results back, because he wasn't feeling well from the doctor, he passed away from cancer that had progressed to a large degree. But ever since I knew him, he was a pujari. He never did anything else. He was always in the pujari room, always, he practically lived on the altar. We know people like that, right? I mean, I've seen him even here. And this is the way, kriyasu yach charanada vindayo. Kriyasu means by activity. You perform that activity, you stay engaged in your service. There's nowhere else to go. We have a human form of life, and we have senses in which we've been given the opportunity to connect up to divine activity, kriyasu, something to do. There is nothing else to do. And if you stay with that, then not only are you a liberated soul in this life, but this is the means by which to transfer oneself back home, back to Godhead. You'll simply continue in your next life in Krishna's service with more and more facility. Sometimes we complain we don't have enough facility. Do we not? I know I do. Do you complain?
Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily complain. You might pray to Krishna, can't we have like $1 billion this year or something? But Krishna reciprocates with every soul perfectly. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ye yata mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajami aham mama vart manavartante manusha parta sarvasa. He says, everyone's on my path. And he says, I reciprocate with everybody according to their desire. I reciprocate with them. So what do you want? What do you desire? You have to develop your desire to serve Krishna by understanding what's at stake. We've been given a very rare opportunity a human form. It means senses are aligned properly so that you can do service throughout your life. So get in the service and take it very seriously and develop it. And don't say you can't, because it's not accepted by Vyasadeva or anybody else. And develop it, and develop yourself, and use this entire lifetime, and Krishna will reciprocate. To the degree that we're sincerely trying, he will reciprocate with us and give us more facility. Now, let's say you want to do more and more service, but you don't have enough facility because of the limitations of the body. I mean, it takes like at least a half hour to get ready to come to Mangalarti, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem like kind of a slow process sometimes? You just want to fly downstairs and be there, but it's like, hey, where's that other piece of, you know? You know, you got to put stuff on, and you got to, there's all kinds of ways in which the material body and mind slow us down. So what to do? Well, if you have a desire to serve more and more, then when you leave this body, Krishna will say, okay, well, you just take a spiritual body. It's much better for serving Krishna. I mean, human body's good, but it's just coming out of animal life. We just stepped out of it. That's why we still have some animal propensities. It's like this guy, he got this raccoon. My dad read me this book when I was a kid. It wasn't called the Wild, it was something else about a raccoon. The guy got this raccoon, wild raccoon, and he made it a pet. And so he was keeping the raccoon at home, feeding it and everything like that. And been there for a couple of years, part of the family. And then on the porch one night, during the summertime, there were some raccoons off in the woods, and they started making raccoon noises. And that raccoon heard it, his ears perked up, and he jumped off the porch and ran off into the woods and never came back. It's the call of the wild. So that call of the wild is still there. You know, we just came out of the woods, of the dark material world, out of the many species of life that just respond to nature all the time. And now we're in a position where we can actually question, what is my own nature? Atato brahma jignasa. The Vedanta Sutra says, now ask. Now do something about this. Now you've got the chance. So this is rare. Rideham adyam sulabam sadur labam plavam sukalpam guru karnadaram. As mentioned in this verse also, you should line yourself up, because Bhagavatam says this body is a boat. And it's equipped with everything you need to cross the ocean of material existence. So what do you need on a boat to get across the ocean?
Captain.
You need a captain. So that's mentioned there. That's you have to have a captain. Somebody who's been across the ocean a few times, they know what to look out for. Red skies at night, sailor's delight. Red skies in the morning, sailors take warning. You got to know, be able to read the signs. Here Prabhupada says, somebody who's trained in Bhagavad Gita, they've understood that Bhagavad Gita is the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They've imbibed them, they live by them. They don't know anything else. This is the way they conduct their life. That's the person to follow, Prabhupada says. What else do you have to get across? I mean, you're crossing in a sailboat. They'll give you a clue. You have to have winds. Mayana kulina nabasvateritam. Krishna says, so you have the favorable winds, and the favorable winds are the Bhagavad Gita. It's the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So you have to hear. And how much do you have to hear to get across a big wide ocean? Because consider it's wind in your sail. How much do you have to hear? You have to hear a lot. You have to hear a lot. Someone asked me recently, well, isn't it good enough just serving? But if you serve, you should develop this desire to hear also. And while you're serving, you should hear also. Don't stop hearing. This is the essence of all advice given by Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrita. He says, Tannama Rupa Charitari Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasanamana Sinyoja Tishtan Raja Tananu Ragi Jananugami Kalam Nayed Akilam Itupadesha Saram. The saram of upadesh, of advice, the cream of advice, he says, essence of all the instructions. are that you should organize your life so you can constantly hear about Krishna. And in this way, you'll make progress on the path of devotional service. So don't hear some other bogus thing, because that will go in, and then you'll be bogus. You'll sit down with a group of devotees, and then you'll start saying bogus stuff. Hey, went to a movie. Everyone will look at you like, you idiot, get out of here. What'd you go to a movie for? Movies are stupid. You sit down when you talk to devotees. If you're hearing, then you'll say, hey, I just read something in the Bhagavatam. What do you think of this? And Prabhupada says that devotees who are advancing, they're like professors. You ever see two professors in the same science? You know, they got the tweed jacket and a little patch on their elbow. They sit down in chairs next, you know, in front of each other, and they start talking about, you know, their thesis papers and, you know, the latest theories and everything. Prabhupada said that devotees should be like that too. Constantly discussing, like spiritual scientists, what's in the Bhagavatam, what's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Don't divert your attention to something else. It disturbs the mind, Narada Muni says, just like a boat on water is disturbed by the wind. When you hear some other katha, don't wreck your perfectly suitable boat by throwing garbage into it and weighing it down. But hear about Krishna. Organize your life in that way so you can go across the ocean. So you've got the boat, you've got the winds, you just got to put more wind in your sails, and hear a lot. And get a captain, get good mentorship so that you're getting guidance from people who have this mood that I'm going across the ocean no matter what. Going across the ocean is a hard journey too. Don't think it's easy. When you're going across the ocean, to be in the middle and think, I'm not ever going to get to the other side. But there's only one thing to do, and that's keep going. Just don't stop. And be careful when you're going through your life, you're young people and you're moving through the different phases of your life, don't get stuck and find a plateau and then drift off into something else. Find a way, one way or another, to stay connected to your service and to your hearing and chanting, no matter what else is going on in your life, so that you can successfully come to the other side of the ocean. When I was writing my book, I felt like I was in the middle of an ocean. It was one of the hardest things I ever did. Writing is very difficult. Hemingway said, writing's easy, all you have to do is sit in front of the typewriter and bleed. And so, by the time I actually decided I was going to write it, and I was fully committed, and not just writing it in my mind over and over again, and actually started writing, I realized what that meant. And for a long period of time, I felt like I was in the middle of the ocean swimming, and I had no idea when I was going to come to the other side. I mean, everything I turn into the editor, they'd say, you know, yeah, keep going, son. Maybe we'll mount to something someday. You know, just keep going. And you just keep going. You got to keep paddling in devotional service. Don't stop for anything. Trust the process that if you continue hearing and you continue your service, that and you continue taking good guidance, you'll be transported across this ocean of material existence. And that's the only thing worth doing. It's the only achievement worth presenting at the end of this lifetime that's of value. Everything else is a waste of time. And that's not me speaking, that's the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam says, Dharma swanustita pumsam vishvaksena katasuya nupariyad yadiratim shrama eva hi kevalam. And he says, eva hi kevalam. These are three intensifiers that say absolutely, positively, without any question, whatever you're doing, if it doesn't lead to wanting to hear more about Krishna, it's shrama, which means useless labor. You've got nothing to show for it at the end of the day and the end of the life. And that's why we live in an ashrama, because ashrama means, and some people say ashram, but it's ashrama. We're living in a place where there's no shrama. It's only engaging in devotional service. That's what an ashrama is. And we have time for a couple more reflections, or even a question. from Krishnadas Kaviraj. Okay, everyone please say Hare Krishna for Krishnadas Kaviraj. Hare Krishna.
We can serve in any condition. Once a boy in intensive care was in a coma on life support for 7 weeks. His mother asked me to chant. Sorry, he's disappearing. His mother asked me to chant. She wanted me to chant to him many nights. 1 year later, his mother told me that he couldn't remember anything. This is always the case for someone in ICU. However, quote, he remembered a man chanting Hare Krishna.
Bravo.
And Sachindra, Krishna Prabhu wants to know, how do we know what our service is?
Ask the temple president or the temple commander. It's very practical. Do the needful. You know, devotees who want to do service will come in and do whatever is available. And when you start doing that, then you'll find that Krishna will encourage you. He'll give you more and more service, and then you'll distinguish yourself in that particular service. So start anywhere and go on with it. And if you feel particularly encouraged to do a service, then take it up and see where it leads you. But Prabhupada says here, our main service is distributing books. So if whoever's asking doesn't have a service, let me recommend. The word kriyasu, meaning by manual labor or by work, is important in this verse. One should engage in practical service to the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, all our activities are concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature. This is very important. One may approach any person and induce him to read Krishna literature so that in the future he may also become a devotee. Such activities are recommended in this verse. Kriyasu yas tvach charanara vindayo. Such activities will always remind the devotees of the Lord's lotus feet. By fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, one is fully absorbed in Krishna. This is samadhi. So we recommend that service. Prabhupada liked it. What else? Yes, Rupanuga Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. You were quoting some verses as from the times of Krishna and Aspareja Patreshu. We're talking about cleansing of our consciousness and heart from hearing. But I know I can speak from experience that despite hearing for a long time, the cleanliness process is not completed, rather slow. So I was wondering, when you talk a lot about offensive chanting, is there something like offensive hearing also that reduces the effect of hearing about Krishna? I mean, I can think of inattentive hearing, but other than that, are there things?
Well, as I mentioned, one has to hear a lot. So as we're considering our own condition, we may make arrangements to hear more and see how that fits. As I know that there's no limitation on how much you can hear. There's no stricture that says, you know, you can only hear just one Bhagavatam class a day. When I first joined the temple in 1973 in San Francisco, there were at least 4 classes a day instituted by Prabhupada. There was Krishna book, Bhagavatam, and then we had Nectar Devotion, we had Krishna book and Bhagavad Gita. So, oh, and TLC. He wanted devotees to hear a lot. And is there offensive? Yeah, I mean, we can refine ourselves and our in our environment in such a way that our hearing has more effect, because there's environments that are less conducive to our consciousness. we have to regulate the senses, for instance. If our senses are regulated, as Krishna says in the Gita, yukta hara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta svapna bhavodasya yoga bhavati dukaha. He said, don't eat too much, don't eat too little, don't sleep too much, and don't sleep too little. And don't recreate too much, and don't recreate too little. This advice is important. For instance, sometimes devotees try to cut way back on their sleep. I know I used to do that all the time, especially back in the brahmachari days. We thought we were the six Goswamis. And I remember for 1 year I was living in Denver, myself and Kashiram Prabhu, we were going out every day, and we were only eating once a day, puffies. And then we'd sleep less and less and less. And this is artificial. I've seen a lot of people try to cut back in different ways, and their brain starts to dwindle. They can't continue the process of hearing without falling asleep and so forth. So you have to regulate yourself as a yogi. Don't stay up late at night. That's important, because if you stay up late at night looking at screens, then your brain gets overactivated, and you can't fall asleep properly, and you'll wake up late. And if you wake up late, you miss the Brahma Muhurta. If you miss the Brahma Muhurta for a few days, then you'll notice it. Like Jeshua Hevitz, famous violinist. Any violinists in here? Any Russians? Jeshua Hevitz, famous violinist, who said that, if I don't practice one day, I notice it. If I don't practice 2 days, my teacher notices it. If I don't practice 3 days, everybody in the world notices it. What to speak in bhakti, it's a refined science. We're refining our consciousness. If you don't get up for the early morning hours one day, you'll notice it. Unless you're really in Maya, and then you won't notice anything. You just think it's normal. And that's Maya, to think it's normal just to not be enthusiastic about devotional service. So it's important to everyone can refine. Everyone at any stage can do more and hear more and add more on. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's like when you're climbing a ladder. You get 1 foot on a rung, and once you feel it solid, then move to the next. It's actually in relationship to a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, that says, Sve sve adhikariya nishta sagunan parikirtita viparyastu dosha syad. This means that everyone should do devotional service according to their capacity, according to their adhikari. And that's a good quality. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and the opposite is true. If you try to do more than you're qualified for, that's a fault. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's like climbing the ladder. If you run up a ladder too fast, you can slip and fall. But he says if you put your foot on the rung and it's there, but you don't move to the next rung and keep moving up and increasing, he said then your advancement will be distant. It'll take a long time to advance. So you can always make new vows. You can always increase your devotional practice and bring it up a notch, especially hearing and chanting. And especially when you get older. I mean, there's a time for everything. Right? There's a time for everything. Like in every day, there's a time. What's that time? Brahma Muhurta. There's a time in every month. What's that time? Ekadashi. Time in every year. Kartik. Time in every life. Near the end. When's that coming? Nobody knows. Get into it now. So try to increase hearing and chanting as much as possible. You think, oh, I'm at my max. This means plateau. It's good enough. That's not good enough. You should have the mood. How do I make it to the next step? And even if it's incremental, that's fine. But find one little tiny increment above what you're doing now and increase it. And if you keep doing that, in ways that you can assimilate and handle, then you'll find yourself advancing. Also, there's ways in which Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, as even those who are chanting Hare Krishna properly. Krishna gives the result when he feels like giving it. He reveals himself when he feels like revealing himself. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyona medaya na bahuna shritena yami vaisha vrinute tena labhyas yashyaisha esha vrinute tanun swam. He reveals himself according to whom he desires to reveal himself to. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says something astounding in his commentary to Ajamil, and that is that some devotees get the results for the chanting withheld until they leave their body. You find the full result at that time. And that's for a specific reason. Because if Krishna gave the full result of bhakti to every devotee immediately, then all the jnanis and the karmis would get discouraged. And he doesn't want to discourage them. So Prabhupada also mentions that we may not realize the full result of our devotional practice until we leave this body. Everything counts, and everything will be is being accounted for and accumulated. But you may realize all that when you leave the body. And Prabhupada says, this is in the light of the Bhagavad. He said, just like during Chaturmasya, students and brahmacharis, they'll take 4 months just to stay in one room and practice austerities. They don't move at that time because it's raining outside and they can't go anywhere anyway, at least in the old days. And he said, while they're in the room, they don't realize the effect of their austerity. It's when they go out after the Chaturmasya that they'll realize, oh, what I did was very powerful. The austerities I performed, the hearing and chanting and so forth. And in a similar way, Prabhupada says, this lifetime is a Chaturmasya-like existence. Think of your life. This one human life you have is Chaturmasya. So take this one lifetime to invest in devotional service. And when you leave, then you'll see everything. Just like Narada, when he left his body, illumination. Before that, he had a revelation of Krishna, but then it was taken away. And Krishna spoke to him and said, you're not there yet. You'll have to work for it. Keep trying. So in summary, this verse teaches us how important it is to stay engaged in the process of devotional service, including engaging our senses in a practical service and also going on hearing and chanting. And I particularly mentioned that be very certain that you're properly situated in your service in ISKCON. There are many competing ideas for doing this, that, the other thing. But attach yourself to a service and stick with it throughout this whole lifetime. And just give your full attention, do the best you can with what you have now, and you'll attain perfection as per the suggestion in this verse. Om Tat Sat. Thank you very much. Gopremanande. Nitai Gora Haribo. Go. Haribo. Nitai Gora Haribo. Nitai Gora Haribo. Go. Haribo. Nitai Gora Haribo. Vanchakopadrvishcha kripasanabhavacha patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha nantagodi vaishnaviniki jaya.
Nachari armarman, nachari armarman, nachari armarman, nachari armarman, hey! Nachari armarman, nachari armarman, nachari armarman, nachari armarman.